It's a numbers game with your host, Gil Alexander.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
Good Tuesday morning to you. It is a numbers game right here at Visa, the Sports Betting Network, SiriusXM Channel 204, Visa.com, the Visa app. Fubo! Sling and Game Plus. I don't know why I screamed Fubo, but that's the one I screamed this time.
Something about that word that just makes you want to scream it.
I think I said FUBU the other day, by the way, which is a fashion line from back in the day. But it's FUBO.
That was a faux pas.
It was. It's Gil Alexander. That's Jason Kahn. How you doing, Jason? You good?
Good. Good morning, Gil.
Pete Futak standing by. Talk college football with us. Pete wrote this impassioned piece, which I think is great, about Ohio State and their candidacy. I'll put that in quotes. For the college football playoff, we'll get into that from a futures perspective because some people have Ohio State futures. Some people got KG, not naming any names, but they might be sitting in this chair. Looking for Indiana Big Ten futures last week. That got torpedoed with Penix, knee injury. But anyway, very interesting chat with Pete Futak coming up, but he's got about seven picks, I think, in college football this weekend. We'll talk to him. Greg Peterson, instant offense. We'll talk college basketball. A couple big marquee games in college basketball tonight, midweek. The stealth first day of December. Big college basketball games, if you're into that. And Drew Dinsick, who always joins us on Tuesdays from the Deep Dive podcast to talk National Football League. And after last night's game, where do the Eagles rank? Are they in his bottom five, and where exactly in his bottom five of teams? Last night, in case you missed it, the Eagles lose to the Seahawks 23-17, and it wasn't that close, quite frankly. The Eagles get a cosmetic touchdown and two-point conversion late to crush people who got the worst number on Seattle. If you got Seattle minus 6.5 pre-flop, you're not doing this right. Now, if you got Seattle minus 6.5 after watching how bad the Eagles were in the middle of the game or through the game, is that as bad of a bet? I'm going to say no.
No, it's at least based on some information.
It just shows you that not everything's black and white. But if you did it pre-flop, you're doing it wrong. By the way, Ben Falks with the tweet about two bettors who went ballistic on Seattle minus 6.5, one for $500,000. This is at BetMGM, our proud sponsors. Ben Fox tweeting this out. One better for 500,000. I think another one, 189,190.25. How does someone bet that exact amount of money? Is that what they have left in their account, probably? And they're just, I'm all in. Put it all in. Fox reporting over 90% of bets and 90% of the money at several sports books on the Seahawks at minus 6.5. And those two ones I just mentioned, and Ben, courtesy of Ben Fox, those were both at BetMGM books. But again, if you're doing it pre-flop and you're getting the worst of the number, not the way to go. But yeah, if you bet it in game, not as bad because you got to see how bad the Eagles were. So I almost can't fault anybody who did that. The Eagles had minus 4 yards in the first quarter. They went 3 and out on their first 5 drives. Didn't get a first down until Wentz ran for 20 yards. That's Carson Wentz, of course, for 20 yards with under 5 minutes left in the first half. He now has 15 interceptions, 10 fumbles, and with 6 more sacks yesterday, 46, most in the NFL by 11. 46 sacks. Now, here's the thing. Everybody's going to go to Carson Wentz, perhaps justifiably so, but the offensive line deserves half the quote-unquote credit for the Eagles' offensive woes, for sure. It's not just all Carson Wentz. Yes, he holds the ball too long, but yes, there are plays where he just has no chance. Now, if you're wondering also, so the Eagles, by the way, lose that. They fall out of, they do not get back to first place in the NFC East, which was taken away from them by both the Giants and Washington earlier in the week. For whatever that matters, we'll get to that in a second. Seattle does take the lead by themselves in the NFC West. But if you're wondering, okay, why didn't we see more of Jalen Hurts? It was just, one play here, one play there. It's all about the cap hit on Carson Wentz. One league executive with direct knowledge of the deal said there's virtually no way out of it because of his structure of his contract. Massive dead money hit of $59.2 million if Wentz is released in 2021.
That is a lot of money.
Well, but so now it's not like this fuzzy math, right? Because the team could spread that number over multiple years by designating Wentz a post-June 1st release, but the dead money would have to be addressed regardless. The deal was done basically to not cut him in the first 3 years. So they finalized the contract in 2019 with immediate cap flexibility in mind, loading future years with bonuses to spread the hit. They just paid a $30 million option bonus in March, which prorates from now until 2024. That leaves $34.67 million in cap hit for 2021, which is not exactly team-friendly. Looming salary cap decrease, remember, to as low as $175 million because of financial losses from the pandemic. It's Gil Alexander. This is a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, SiriusXM Channel 204, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Fubo, Sling, and Game Plus. So that's why you're getting Carson Wentz jammed down your throat beyond belief, right?
Because Carson Wentz has a good agent.
Well, it's because the Eagles have to kind of make this work, right? They have to. No, it's got to be Carson Wentz. And so that's what's happened.
That's an unfortunate place to be if you're a football team.
It is, and a football fan of that team, right? So as it stands now with that loss, the NFC East, Giants technically in first because they beat Washington twice. Giants are 4-7, Washington 4-7, Eagles 3-7-1, Dallas 3-8. Now, when you put that all in the wash, 9 out of those collective 18 wins were against each other. Half of the wins in that division are against each other. Their record collectively against everyone else outside of the division, 5-20-1.
That's not very good.
One of those teams, as it stands now, is getting a home playoff game. Let's talk a little college football. Let's bring him in. Pete Futak from College Football News, at Pete, F-I-U-T-A-K on Twitter. How you doing, Pete? Good morning to you, sir.
Good morning to you. And to go with that Carson Wentz thing, remember, they took Jalen Hurts in the second round.
Yes.
So you're jamming down your throat, like you said, Carson Wentz, but you got a guy who's probably your most dynamic playmaker. You got to figure out how to get him in there as well. By the way, speaking of the bad late beat there, I have in our fantasy league, one of our guys was up one and went against Miles Sanders and lost on that 2-point conversion at the very end after a whole weekend. And it's a meltdown of all meltdowns in our little world here.
Oh, fantasy. I've lost the fantasy Super Bowl on a garbage Tony Gonzalez catch with 1 minute left in the final Monday night game of week 17.
We've all been there.
Yeah, we've all been there. Let me ask you about this because you did a great job on this, I thought, at collegefootballnews.com, where you are the emperor, by the way. I'm not sure if you're aware of that. It's about
czar.
That's right. I'm sorry. TS or CZ?
TS is just cooler. Okay. Yeah,
yeah, it is a little cooler. It's old school.
Actually, I think that's technically correct, too. I think you're supposed to do TS.
Yeah, I think Americans CZ'd it up. CZ'd it.
Yeah.
All right. Glad we got that out of the way. So you did this great piece there about Ohio State. And Ohio State currently 4-0. And we're going to get the second of five playoff rankings tonight. And usually this is a sports radio kind of thing. But it does have betting implications because, as I mentioned earlier, some people bet Ohio State not only to win the Big Ten, they want them to win it. They bet them to win it all. And I even, you know, went around searching last week. I'm like, okay, this COVID thing, like if they miss another game and they're ineligible for the Big Ten championship, what's the price on Indiana to win the Big Ten championship? By the way, there was a 50-1 at BetMGM in certain jurisdictions. BetMGM doesn't have the market Big Ten championship in other jurisdictions. I'm going to have to ask somebody at BetMGM, by the way, why they offer certain markets in certain jurisdictions and not in others. Interesting question. But 50-1 on Indiana in certain spots, you know, 40-1 in others. And then Penix goes ahead and blows out his knee, which is awful for the kid and awful for anybody who made that bet. But anyway, back to Ohio State. Great piece about them. But can you do it the way that you wrote it?
Yeah, okay. So, first of all, Indiana's not insane, really, because, first of all, Jack Tuttle, their backup quarterback, was a four-star guy at Utah. Pretty good quarterback. It's not that bad. Secondly, Northwestern's already missing a game this week. So if they miss two more, all of a sudden it's Indiana versus, what, Iowa for the Big Ten championship?
Still in play.
But the whole still in place. So the Ohio State thing is, how do you put that? And if, I don't know if you remember, a couple years ago, you and I got into the screaming match about should Alabama be in or should Ohio State be in? Yes. About, you know, should a team that couldn't even win its own division get into the college football playoff? Now, just because, you know, the shot went in and Alabama won the national championship doesn't necessarily mean it deserved it because it didn't really play anybody, didn't have any great wins. And Ohio State won a Big Ten championship, including beating a Wisconsin along the way. That was undefeated. So this year, what do you do with Ohio State? Because we're all assuming that, oh, of course, it's Ohio State. It's this great team. Meanwhile, if you were able to take everything about Ohio State's resume and apply it to, say, Purdue and say, okay, it's Purdue. You've got the best offense in the Big Ten, but you've got by far the worst pass defense. You've got one game over a team that's going to finish with a winning record, and that's Indiana by 7, which you got lit up for almost 500 passing yards by Penix.
Lit up.
And every other game you've played, you've been okay, not amazing, but good enough. And but again, you've only played one team that is going to finish this season with the winning record, and that includes what's happening coming forward. Now, if Ohio State can finish the season out and play and win the Big Ten championship undefeated, yeah, fine. Get in the college football playoff, undefeated Big Ten champ, no questions asked. However, if they can't go this week against Michigan State, or if they can't go against Michigan and they're not eligible to play for the Big Ten championship, how do you put Ohio State in the college football playoff at 4-0 or 5-0 over, say, what do they deserve about being Ohio State over, say, a 5-0 or 6-0 Pac-12 champion that's a Power 5 champion, or a team that actually has a really good win? Texas A&M beat Florida. Florida beat Georgia. Notre Dame obviously beat Clemson. Clemson would have, I mean, you can, the five or six other teams that are in this have great wins and resumes. Ohio State's resume is garbage compared to everyone else. And yet we're just kind of assuming, yeah, it's one of the four best teams in the country, so we'll put them in. So if the long story short, if the college football playoff puts an Ohio State in that doesn't win the Big Ten championship, basically they're just saying, eh, the college season, whatever. We're just going to put in the teams we want.
And that's the point. So if everything that you just said applied to, and we're just using Purdue as sort of like, you know, we're not picking on Purdue, but if it was just Purdue, no one would give it a second's thought, right? Not
Never.
Even a second, not even for a nanosecond, but it's Ohio State. And so all of a sudden it's just all these assumptions are made. And that is why, again, college football, yes, we love betting on it. Betting is one thing, but if you lull yourself into thinking this is somehow a legitimate meritocracy sport, just stop it already. It disappoints with this kind of stuff every year. And you're right. They should not have that opportunity unless, you know, they do play the rest of their games. They win the Big Ten championship, then different story.
That's a different story. That's a completely different story. Who would you put them in over? So you got to assume an SEC champion's in no matter what. You got to assume an ACC champion is in no matter what. And then how does that play out? If Clemson beats Notre Dame close, would you put in a 4-0, 5-0 Ohio State over Notre Dame, whose only loss is a close battle to Clemson in the ACC championship after beating them? If Florida beats Alabama somehow, forget it, because both Florida and Alabama are in. And what do you do with Texas A&M, who, if it wins out, okay, it might not be that impressive, but it still beat Florida, still beat LSU, still beat all these SEC teams, and its one win is, you know, over Florida as opposed to Ohio State's one win is over Indiana. So it's going to be an interesting fight here.
Okay, let's get into some games. We're talking to Pete Futak at Pete Fiutak, the czar of college football news once again. By the way, I don't remember. Was it a screaming match where we were legitimately screaming at each other?
We weren't screaming. I was grouchy. I wouldn't scream at you or anything. But it was a silly argument by a silly person.
No, I'm sure it was fabulous.
It wasn't just you, but yeah, we got into it just because just the theoretical debate about it. But at the end of the day, look, it was Alabama. What are you going to do, complain? And at the end of the day, if it's Ohio State that gets in, all right, it's still Ohio State. You can't really get that crazy mad about it.
You also made the point, is this an appropriate argument for a pandemic? Well, I think it is. Where we come from, it's still an appropriate argument. Clemson, let's start with games. And a lot of these are big spread games. Clemson minus 22 over Virginia Tech, your thoughts?
Remember the first half of this season, we said, go with the underdogs always, because every team was off. No one was in shape. Everything was weird. Well, now it's flipped and everyone sort of has their teams kind of as normal as they are going to be in terms of being in shape, in terms of being, you know, football ready. And so now I think you get the big favorites starting to kick in because they're going to make statements. And this is where it looks like Clemson has just said, all right, we're Clemson. And it is now December as opposed to, you know, their late November drive. And this is where they start to roll. Pitt is a very good team that just got obliterated last week by this Tiger team. Virginia Tech, a little bit of a mess, 22, not that bad of a spread. And again, Clemson driving for the ACC championship here. Trevor Lawrence, and they are playing all systems go. Clemson wins that by more than 22.
All right, let me go back to Ohio State for a second, because Felica just chimed in too. He's like, what? He's like, the Ohio State argument would be beating Wisconsin on December 19th. That would basically be a significant win, even though it's technically not the Big Ten title game. But the Ohio State, if they play Michigan State this week, that too is a very large spread. Let's call it, 23 and a half, somewhere in there. What would you say about this game, 23 over Michigan State, if it gets played?
I think you've got a team in Ohio State that's realizing, uh-oh, we got to do something amazing here, because what happens if they can't play Michigan? It's not, might not even be Ohio State's fault. If they can get this game in, let's say Michigan has a problem, because the school, University of Michigan, is having massive issues with this. So let's say Michigan can't go for whatever reason, and Ohio State's out because of that. This might be their last shot. This might be their last big statement. So everything we just said about, oh, Ohio State, they're not really playing that well, this is certainly not the Ohio State team of last year. But this is one of those games where if you're the Buckeyes, you're saying, you know what, we're coming into this game kind of like they did in 2014, kind of like they did a few years back, where they said, this is statement time. They're going to have to win this game in a blowout, because again, this might be their last shot to show what they can do.
By the way, I'm going to go on all kinds of asides here, and we'll get to all your games. There's five more to get to, but Ty Freifogel in that game for Indiana.
Woo.
Against Ohio State, 7 catches for 218, 3 touchdowns, man amongst boys. And I was just thinking to myself, I was like, how much did he help his draft position with
big
a
time.
Game like that?
And to continue really quick with your yeah. point here is that as good as Indiana was in that game, they were hot garbage against Maryland the last week.
Yeah.
And so when Penix is bad and the team is bad, it just makes Ohio State's struggle look that much worse. But Freifogel was amazing in that game. He's been the best receiver in the Big Ten this year.
Oh, no doubt. No doubt. Especially with all the other big names that were receivers in the Big Ten that were getting all the hype. And then it ends up being him. Speaking, by the way, one of those guys, we were doing primetime action the other night, and it came across Rashad Bateman of Minnesota just said deuces. And I looked down at that, and I'm like, good for him. Rashad Bateman, who was so great for Minnesota and a great year for the Golden Gophers last year, but this year, obviously, a season lost. He just, and I think we'll see this from a lot of players, and God bless them all for doing it. Why stick around in this in the strangest of all years? Yeah, just go.
No point. And there's people on Twitter saying, oh, well, you're quitting now on your team. Like, no, look, Minnesota's not playing this weekend. Why? What's your point? And that's kind of the other big thing about all this. And we're going to see this. It's going to be interesting from a betting side, which teams just have nothing to play for. Because now the bowl games are starting to drop. We just lost the Sun Bowl today. So there's going to be teams that are going to be on a kind of column A. Well, this might be our last game or two of the year. How much are we going to try in these regular season games compared to, we got nothing to play for here, and we're just doing this just to do this. So it's going to be an interesting last couple weeks here.
The other thing that killed me, now that we're thinking about last week, because it's all coming back to me, and you and I might have talked about this on primetime action, but for the numbers game audience, sometimes I'm watching college football, and I'm not even trying to watch college football, right? I'll watch it in bits and pieces, and it's amazing how much I walk away, and I'm like, I don't understand football anymore. Tom Herman, Texas against Iowa State. Just how can I let Iowa State? I know what I'll do. I'll stop the clock with pass plays that could possibly go incomplete. It was a second and third down sequence late in that game for Texas where they stopped the clock, giving Iowa State enough time. Then I'm back here at the South Point watching North Carolina and Notre Dame, and I'm on Notre Dame in game. And so this was great for me, but North Carolina had all of their timeouts in pocket. Notre Dame has the ball matriculating up 7, and I'm like, all right, they going to use any of the timeouts? They're really not going to use any of their timeouts.
Sam Ehlinger, your senior quarterback, who has played a gajillion games, taking the sack. You can't take. And what happens on the Cameron Dicker field goal attempt? It goes by like a foot. And then the crazier part about this with Herman is if Cameron Dicker's field goal goes a foot and a half this way, they're in overtime. They probably wins. It's Ehlinger. And Tom Herman gets a contract extension. Field goal goes that way, and he's probably going to get fired, as crazy as this all is.
Yeah. By the way, we crush Jim Harbaugh all the time. Why is Scott Frost Teflon in Nebraska?
I'm a Jim Harbaugh apologist. You know this, but I don't know how. And we said this last year at the exact same time. Scott Frost, Willie Taggart had the exact same record. Taggart got fired. Frost got a contract extension. So, you know, it's college football.
All right, let's do a few more of these. Oregon State, +10.5 over Utah. You like Oregon State here with the points.
Yeah, Jamar Jefferson's the best running back in the Pac-12. Great game against Oregon. This is a very strong team. Utah's just not quite there yet. Utah's okay at home. 11.5, that's a lot to be given away. Take the Beavers.
All right. Let's do one with a small spread. Oklahoma State, 2.5 over TCU.
Don't quite get it. TCU just has, you know, they've got the reputation, but they have not shown up over the second half of the season. That offense just is not working. Oklahoma State's been funky, struggled to get by Texas Tech last week, but that was a late run by Texas Tech. Oklahoma State's defense is going to step it back up. Low scoring game. Oklahoma State pulls that off. It's like you said, the small spread on that's too much to ignore. So you like that.
All right. We got one more here. Well, can you stay after the break? We'll do a few more after that.
What else do I got?
Just games. Just give you picks here. All right, Wisconsin and Indiana, the aforementioned game, the one we were talking about here moments ago. Wisconsin, what is this now, 14.5 after the injury?
Be careful here. I like the Badgers, but Jack Tuttle, again, he's a very good quarterback. He's going to be fine for Indiana. I just think this is Wisconsin saying, you know what, after that Northwestern thing a couple weeks ago and missing the Minnesota game, this is where they come out at home and just turn into Wisconsin for a game.
All right, so Indiana's route to the Big Ten championship game is just got to...
This is the brutally ugly part about this. Really, you're rooting kind of for Ohio State to not play because of a pandemic.
Yeah, and that's what you're rooting for. Yeah. It's a terrible thing to root for, isn't it?
Yeah.
Unless, of course, you're holding a ticket and bettors are cold-blooded and don't care about such things. All right, we'll come back. A few more picks from Pete. What have we had so far? Clemson, you like? You like Ohio State? You like Oregon State, Oklahoma State, and Wisconsin, respectively, in those games. Coming back, we've got a few more from Pete Futak from College Football News right here on A Numbers Game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
To A Numbers Game with Gil Alexander.
With exciting college and pro football action every week, it's time to get into BetMGM Sports Nevada, the premier sports betting app. BetMGM has all your favorite wagering options, along with in-game betting, boosted odds specials, and much more. Download the BetMGM app today. Stop by any MGM casino on the strip with your state-issued ID to open an account and start placing sports bets from anywhere in Nevada. Whatever your sport, whatever your betting style, you're going to love BetMGM's state-of-the-art technology and fan-friendly specials every day of the week. VSiN, by the way, in case you missed it, we're reporting live from Mandalay Bay every weekend as well. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. Got to be 21 or older and physically located in Nevada. Please gamble responsibly. As always, if you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. By the way, following up on the Carson Wentz discussion earlier, because it totally is his contract structure that is preventing, you know, him getting cut, and that's the exact reason why we're getting so much Carson Wentz and so little Jalen Hurts. They could trade him. That would be, you know, the way out. Wentz would have to, Wentz could restructure in that kind of arrangement. Opinions are varied, like, about how desired he would be. Some teams would have very little interest, obviously, based on their quarterback situations, but just in terms of the consensus opinion on him around the league, the word is that there are still some teams that really would want him, that would actually willingly trade for him. So they all it takes is one suitor. So that would probably be the Eagles' way out of things. By the way, on the break, Jason, you're saying when Pete Futak, he goes, "There's the Sun Bowl just got canceled."
On. Yeah, we buried the headline here. Well, what happened to the Sun Bowl, Pete? The Sun Bowl's canceled.
The Tony the Tiger Sun Bowl is canceled.
I have to give back my tickets.
Jason almost, he was like, the Sun Bowl got canceled. What?
I'm actually surprised they're having any bowl games.
How many bowl games do you think we're going to end up with, Pete?
I think it depends. We're going to have the big ones. The crazy part about it is the bowl games are actually probably the game itself is probably the easiest thing to do, because in a normal time, the players are sequestered and away from the rest of the world and in a bubble, as much of a bubble as you can find in college football for a while. The problem is if you can't sell tickets, which it's not like you're packing the house with these things, but they sell tickets. They force the colleges to buy the tickets. And they're not going to want to do that this year. And you can't have the events and the fundraising things and all the other aspects of it. So I think they're going to lose a lot more before this is all said and done, just because it's just so hard to put these things together in a community and have people around each other right now. So they're going to have the big ones, but I think most of the smaller ones go away. But in this, the Pac-12 is in a weird spot, because the Pac-12, they have the rule where you got to go 500 to be bowl eligible. There aren't going to be a lot of 500 Pac-12 teams that are going to have bowl spots, and now they're losing their bowl tie-ins left and right.
Yeah. What a year. 2020. We're in December.
We're here. We're still talking football. I'm still shocked by this, that's actually.
Right.
But
all right. So Clemson, here are your picks so far. Clemson minus 22 over Vatek. Ohio State minus 23 over Michigan State, assuming it goes on. Oregon State plus 10.5 over Utah. Oklahoma State minus 2.5 over TCU. Wisconsin laying the 14.5 against Indiana. Three more, all big spreads. We only have a little time here. Texas Tech, 27.5 point favorites against Kansas.
I'm not going to give you any analysis here. It just Kansas, they're awful. You can't put a spread far enough. It's you set the spread and they are just fantastic at being able to not beat it every single week. They have been annihilated every week this year. And usually they have that one game where it's like, oh my gosh, they come up with a shocking win over Texas or something like this. Not this year. This team's got absolutely nothing. Texas Tech has finally found an offense again last week against Oklahoma State. 27.5. This, again, Texas Tech isn't good. Just, this is an anti-Kansas bet. Until this train stops, you keep riding it.
Keep riding the train. Oklahoma, 23-point favorites against Baylor.
Baylor's not good. They had a pretty decent performance in the last couple of weeks, but they beat Kansas State. Kansas State's really reeling right now. Oklahoma is on fire. It's getting hot at just the right time. Spencer Rattler has got the at-bats in. He's playing well. Oklahoma's going to win this easily.
By the way, 22, not 23. Sorry, Baylor. And then finally, Alabama, LSU, 28.5 point spread.
I am done thinking that, okay, well, Alabama's going to get covered late. I thought Kentucky would come up with a couple of late touchdowns. Nope. I thought Auburn, well, it's the Iron Bowl. They'll get blown out early and come up with, you know, a try-hard college thing late. Nope. I am done with thinking Alabama's not just going to obliterate everything in its path. LSU's just not going to score in this game.
All right, Pete, on the way out, Mac Jones or Kyle Trask? Heisman, who? Quick.
Heisman elect. Can we stay with it? Heisman elect Kyle Trask. The two are going to play off in the SEC championship game. That might be for the Heisman as well.
The most interesting influx market in any sport in any season in recent memory, the Heisman. And every week it's something different with those four guys. Obviously, Trevor Lawrence and Justin Fields included. Pete Futak, thank you, sir, as always. Appreciate it.
Later, Gil.
Pete Futak at Pete, F-I-U-T-A-K on Twitter. College football news. We'll come back. We'll talk college basketball. Big day. College basketball early with Greg Peterson next on A Numbers Game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back to A Numbers Game with Gil Alexander.
Make sure you grab the VSiN holiday offer now. New subscribers save 25% on your annual VSiN membership. Plus, get a $30 credit to the VSiN store. Get a great deal, improve your sports betting IQ, and get a new VSiN shirt or hat. How's the Numbers Game stuff coming, Jason? We're on our way.
It is coming. It is happening.
Soon.
We should have an update here in the next couple days.
For the holidays. Makes the perfect holiday gift. Get everything we offer, by the way. Point spread weekly, 24/7 video streaming, 20% savings in the VSiN store, daily email updates with best bets from every show guest and host, plus every betting guide we create, including the new College Hoops Guide. Visit VSiN.com/subscribe. Save 25%. Get a $30 store credit. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. By the way, NFL scheduling changes, in case you missed it. The Ravens-Steelers game that was originally scheduled for Thanksgiving then moved to Sunday, then move to tomorrow, has been moved for a third time. It's going to be Wednesday. It's going to be Wednesday at 3:40 p.m. Eastern, 12:40 Pacific. Lunchtime NFL on a Wednesday.
Like a getaway game in baseball.
Which would be a full 7-day Week 12 NFL, if in fact this game does get played. And we're all rooting for it to get played. Not 100% sure it's going to get played, but we hope it is. What that does do, though, is that it then delays or it postpones the Steelers-Washington game to Monday night. So that will be the first of a doubleheader with the Buffalo-San Francisco game originally scheduled for Monday. That game will be bumped a little bit. The Steelers-Washington game will be 5 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Pacific. Buffalo-Washington will be moved to Scotiabank. That will be played in Arizona, by the way, where the Niners are going to play two consecutive, quote-unquote, home games in Arizona. By the way, a couple weeks after that, they have a game at Arizona anyway against the Cardinals. So three games out of four played in Glendale for the Niners. And then the Ravens-Cowboys game, which was initially supposed to be Thursday night football, moves to Tuesday night, December 8th, we believe. Again, contingent on the Ravens playing the Steelers tomorrow and everything else working out. So this is, by the way, if you're wondering, why did the Ravens-Steelers game end up being at 3:40 p.m. tomorrow, Eastern, 12:40 Pacific? 3:40 Eastern, Adam Schefter, another ultimate 2020 note. The Ravens-Steelers game kicking off Wednesday at 3:40 p.m. because NBC wanted and was committed to broadcasting the 88th Rockefeller Center Christmas tree lighting ceremony on Wednesday night, per sources. Tree lighting trumped football.
Trumped football.
You like a good tree lighting? A Rockefeller Center tree lighting?
I've heard that it's not going to be as impressive this year down at Rockefeller Center as it has in the past.
I mean, I love Christmas, but football? Come on.
Who doesn't love a good tree, though?
I love Christmas. But again, it's football, so, you know, I think probably it shouldn't have taken priority.
They could
but, you know,
figure out a way to do it, like, during the halftime ceremony or something.
It is what it is, as they say. All right, let's talk a little college basketball. He's instant offense. He's Greg Peterson. VSiN's own Greg Peterson. How you doing, Greg?
I'm doing great. I'm looking forward to both football and a Christmas tree lighting. So now we're doing absolutely fantastic.
How's the girlfriend of college basketball treating you so far?
Very, very well. Got off to a little bit of a rough start day number one, but these last, I would say, 5 days have been absolutely magnificent. So it has been very, very good just to have the sport that I love back, and having some good days the last couple days, that makes it all the better.
I do this parlor game with Greg where I just call out random team names and just am impressed by his encyclopedic knowledge. Oral Roberts, Golden Eagles, go.
Their team that they have to replace your top scorer, DeAndre Burns, but Max Abrams was able to give the team right around 14.5 points per game. They've really kicked it up tempo in recent years, which I think is fascinating. And this is a bunch that they've moved from conference to conference in recent years. I know that they've been out there in the Summit League the last couple of years. They've been just in a little bit of flux when it comes to an actual home for them. So that has been really interesting for the team to be able to deal with. But by and large, I do like this Golden Eagles team. If they're just able to take care of the ball and they seem to have a couple point guards that they're going to be able to rely upon.
Not planned, ladies and gentlemen. I promise you, not planned. Just threw out a team randomly. This is a bit of a local angle. I was in the car after primetime action on MSG Plus, and thank you for being on that show as well, Greg, the other night when UNLV was playing Montana State, and UNLV was getting crushed, and the local announcers were just despondent. They were forlorn. It was one of those, and there's another three for Montana State, timeout, UNLV. You know, just bitter. And then last night, UNLV gets out to the 2-touchdown lead against the Tar Heels, 14-0. It was like the greatest in-game moment you could possibly make bet. And folks on primetime action, Kelly Bidlin did, in fact, get in on UNC at that point. Carolina ends up beating the Running Rebels, by just a million in the end. More of a commentary on Carolina or actually on UNLV. They win by 27, by the way, 41-point turnaround.
This was just absolutely ridiculous to see UNLV, for one, get out to that 13-0 lead, because I was going to Twitter. I'm like, wow, this is a really nice run for UNLV. And then from there, North Carolina just puts it on them. I think it says a little bit more about North Carolina, because because you had Caleb Love, who wound up going 2 of 9 in that game. It's not like he was necessarily a force, but with all the guys that you have down low for UNC, Armando Bacot, you've now got Garrison Brooks doing some great things as well. I believe that the rebounding margin was 54-28 in this game.
Man.
I think that that says a lot about North Carolina, because traditionally they're really good on the glass. This year they seem to be one of the deepest teams with regards to front court play in all of college basketball.
I'm going to ask you about Michigan State, Duke, and Kentucky, Kansas, obviously the two marquee games after the break. But let's start with the first of all games, because it's a nice, solid slate of college basketball games today. Texas and Indiana. Indiana favored by 2, and I'll let you go to wherever picks you really like in a bit. But since this is the earliest game, 1:30 Eastern, 10:30 Pacific, and I happen to be watching Indiana just roll Providence yesterday, what do you think about this with the Hoosiers favored by a bucket?
This is going to be really fascinating, because with Indiana, this is a bunch that they like to slow things down a little bit. And Texas is a team that, by and large, under Shaka Smart, they've really went a little bit more of a downshifting style as well. But what has really been working for Texas is being able to get all these guys back. 99.9% of their minutes returned from last season. That's the most out there in college basketball. And then you throw in their Greg Brown. I remember talking to Rich Hollenberg of ESPN. He does a lot of their Big 12 coverage. He said that he's going to be better than Mo Bamba. And he's been able to give this team right around a double-double in his first couple games. He was able to have a nice effort yesterday against Davidson. Now, the question mark that you have with Texas is free throw shooting. They wound up going 16 of 24 in that game against Davidson. But I do like what I'm seeing out of this Texas team, and what I think is going to be the difference maker for Texas, which is why I'm going to be taking them on the money line, is the fact that they are able to shoot those threes. Meanwhile, with Indiana, Christian Lander wound up coming off the bench for Indiana against Providence, and he just didn't give the team a lot, so that was a little bit of a red flag for me.
And we should just warn people, if they're watching this, Shaka Smart has a full head of hair, correct? That's the main thing we should warn people about.
It's not a good look either.
It's not a good look. All right, we'll come back. We'll get Greg's real picks. Just wanted to ask about that one first, and about the two marquee matchups tonight. Michigan State, Duke, Kentucky, and Kansas. Early December college basketball tangles coming up right here. Numbers Game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
To A Numbers Game with Gil Alexander.
Celebrate the holiday season at BetMGM, the king of sports books. With a risk-free first bet up to $500, simply sign up and use bonus code VSIN500 to take advantage of this offer. Bet with confidence at BetMGM. Download the app today and use bonus code VSIN500 to get back to, or get back up rather, to $500 on your first wager. Happy holidays from BetMGM. New customer offer, paid in free bets. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. 21 years of age or older to wager. Once again, get back up to $500 on your first wager by using the bonus code VSIN500. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700 in Colorado and Nevada. 1-800-GAMBLER in New Jersey and West Virginia. In Tennessee, call or text the red line at 800-889-9789. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-9-WITH-IT in Indiana. Promotional offer not available in Nevada. Jason, we get tweets at Beating the Book. Sorry to spring these on you, but we get tweets. Robert Scott. Golf and dirt racing. Carson Wentz just screams Bears. Knowing how cheap and without a clue that organization is, I can see them doing that. Totally, by the way. Asian Lebowski, a Netflix original, The Analytic, The Jew That Loves Christmas, the story of the 2020 Rockefeller Christmas tree lighting and the impact on the NFL point spread movement. I'd watch that. Oh, that's me who would start it. Thank you for the Netflix suggestion. I'm sure they're listening. I'm sure it's in production now. That is the one thing with all those schedule changes that we talked about, right? With Baltimore, Pittsburgh hopefully being played tomorrow, and that is pending more news. Hopefully, a lack of news out of Baltimore with positive tests. But Pittsburgh being affected by all of it. And we talked about on Primetime Action how that, you know, if Mike Tomlin gets through that gauntlet of changes and goes 16-0, he's all about NFL Coach of the Year. He ought to be it, running away. But he gets back to the survivor thing of who has gotten the biggest, pardon me, who has gotten the biggest shaft in Survivor so far? The people who saved the Steelers for Thanksgiving. Those are the people who have gotten the biggest shaft so far. And I completely sympathize with them because they made a strategic move to hang on to the Steelers for that game against the Ravens on Thanksgiving. Remember, the Circa contest specifically has Thanksgiving as its own week. And when that game got scuttled, they were forced to adapt and make other picks. Now, I get it. But, you know, some of us got through making those other picks. They could have, too. But their whole season-long strategy got thrown out the window. And I don't know how many of those who were going to pick Pittsburgh ended up, say, picking Dallas or something like that. So those are the people who have really gotten the shaft so far. You don't have sympathy for the people who didn't get it in before the deadline, but you certainly have sympathy for those people, I would say.
I'm a survivor.
Thank you. I think we went pretty far today without mentioning Survivor, didn't we? It's a new late season record. Let's bring Greg Peterson back in. VSiN's own Greg Peterson, college basketball savant. Arkansas State, go.
Arkansas State is a team that brings back Caleb Fields out there in the backcourt. This is a bunch that they were actually really good against the spread last season, despite the fact that they didn't necessarily have the world's greatest straight-up record. Now you have to replace Salif Bode. He winds up going over to UMass Lowell, and UMass Lowell's actually had a very nice start to the season, by the way. But you take a look at this Arkansas State team. They look to be playing a little bit low and slow. They showed that off in their loss against Morehead State a couple days ago. So I take a look at this Arkansas State team. If they're able to clean up the glass, they're going to be a little bit of promise for them. But the Sun Belt, very competitive this season. Just ask UT Arlington.
Again, that has nothing to do with anything. I'm just amusing myself throwing stuff at Greg and seeing how much he knows. Greg could be lying to me about everything he just said about Arkansas State. I would have no idea, but I'm going to trust Greg. All right, let's talk about these two marquee games first. Then we'll let you pick, tell us your picks that you love the most. But Michigan State Duke is at 7:30. Eastern, 4:30 p.m. Pacific tonight. Duke, 3.5-point favorites against the Spartans. What do you think about this?
This is a spot in which I've got to be taking a look at Michigan State. I mean, this has moved a little bit in favor of Michigan State already. I expect it to move a little bit more as well. I just take a look at this Duke team. Certainly, you bring in a couple of new freshmen, including Jalen Johnson. He was able to have a nice double-double in their game against Coppin State. What else he had? 7 turnovers. This is a team that's right now lacking a little bit of chemistry. You bring back Matthew Hurt, but on the Michigan State side, Joey Hauser, while he was at Marquette during the 2018-19 season, all Big East freshman performer, shot 42.5% from 3-point range. He's made an immediate impact, and you finally get back Joshua Langford as well. He was out nearly 23 months between the game that he wound up playing last week and when he had last played. He was dealing with a bunch of injuries and a career 40% 3-point shooter. He brings a lot to the table when it comes to the Michigan State backcourt. This is a spot in which if they wound up playing this game, maybe in February, March, I would have a little bit of an opinion, but with Duke being so young, with them lacking chemistry, I think the Michigan State has a very good chance to pull the outright win. Getting 3.5 points on top of it right now, that's a good play.
All right, and the second part of the marquee doubleheader today in college basketball, Kentucky and Kansas, 2-1-1 teams. Kansas lost to Gonzaga, no shame there. Kentucky lost to the Richmond Spiders here early in the season, for those who missed it. Kansas, largely as a result of that, up to a 4.5-point favorite here.
Yeah, and this is a spot at which I still don't think it's enough on Kansas. I absolutely love the way that Christian Braun is shooting it from 3-point range. He shot 44.5% from 3-point range last season. And with this Kentucky team, they brought back one guy that scored a single point for the team last season, and he's currently out with injury. That would be Keon Brooks. I mean, you wind up bringing in Davion Mintz from Creighton, and while he was with Creighton, he was able to give the team like 10 points per game, but he's not even playing right now very much for Kentucky. He wound up seeing, I believe, 13 minutes in the team season opener. Olivier Sarr was a guy that wound up splitting time as a starter and coming off the bench for Wake Forest. They bring in Jacob Toppin. Whoop-de-doo. He averaged 5 points and shot 26.5% from 3-point range. Coming off the bench for Rhode Island, and now we're expecting him to make an impact for Kentucky. I mean, I don't know what we're missing here, but I mean, this is a spot in which Kansas, you wind up bringing back Oshae Ogbaji. He's been able to do a solid job for this backcourt as well. I just take a look at this Kansas team in general. They've got him completely outkicked when it comes to experience. I quite frankly think that they're the more talented team as well. Now, B.J. Boston is a nice player, but Kentucky 0 of 10 from 3-point range against Richmond. And Richmond knocking off Kentucky, that was not a fluke. This is a very good Richmond team laying the points here with Kansas, and I wound up giving this one out for the New York Post.
Like it. A little New York Post plug in there as well. So not a fluke with Richmond. How about UVA, now that you mention it? How about the Hoos losing to the San Francisco Dons? Is that a fluke?
That was one where I think it was a little bit, just because this is a Virginia team that they're starting to come together, and San Francisco, they were going lights out from 3-point range. Khalil Shabazz had himself a very nice tournament out there in the state of Connecticut. And when you take a look at this Virginia team, Sam Hauser was off his game a little bit in that one. He's a career 44% 3-point shooter, 90% free throw shooter. I think they need to get back to this Thomas Wolden Tenzi as well. This is someone that in the first couple games of the season only wound up playing like 12, 13 minutes after he was a big part of why Virginia was able to make that run towards the back half of the 2019-20 season. And I fully expect Tony Bennett to be able to make that adjustment. Also, Jay Huff, I think, is going to be a little bit more effective, as we remember last season when the team went up against Duke. 10 blocks in that game.
All right, talking to Greg Peterson from VSiN, College Basketball Encyclopedia. What do you like best today in terms of your bets on a pretty good college basketball slate?
Well, the one that I gave you first, Kansas laying the points, I am all about that right now. I think that that is going to be just one in which it gets there. I mean, this is a Kentucky team I have absolutely no faith in at this point. A team that I do have some faith in is Oklahoma State, though. As of right now, the line opened up at 4.5. I am right now seeing this between 3 and 3.5. I still like Oklahoma State catching the points. I'm looking at it under as well. What we see with Marquette is that they're playing a little bit better defense. They wind up bringing in Dawson Garcia. He's 6'11". He's able to shoot threes. Top overall prospect for Minnesota. He's been able to show off very well in the team's first two games, but you've got Cade Cunningham, who's right now putting up 20 points per game for Oklahoma State. An Oklahoma State team that thrashed Texas Southern by 20. Texas Southern, by the way, yesterday, they were down 50-31 at the half against Wyoming, won the game outright as a double-digit underdog. So that tells you a little bit about them right there. And with this Oklahoma State team, Isaac Likely, he's able to fill it up. He's been able to give the team quite a few assists. He's a guard that isn't necessarily too big, but he's going to give you like 6-7 rebounds per game. I like what he's able to bring to the table. So in that one, I'm really liking the under along with Oklahoma State. And then
let me interrupt you for 1 second, Greg. I'm seeing 3 or 2.5 in some spots. Do you like Oklahoma State at that number though? Or should people
stay off? Even at 2.5, I like it. I think that Oklahoma State has a good chance to be able to pull this one off outright.
Okay. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
And then I also like South Dakota catching the points against Nebraska. It's just really hard to have a lot of faith in this Nebraska team. They've got talent. They bring in Kobe Webster, graduate transfer from Western Illinois. They also have brought in a pair of guys from Pittsburgh, headlined by Trey McGowan, who's been able to give the team a bit of something. But when you take a look at the South Dakota State, Stanley Amudi is who you've got to take note of. He was able to give the team 69 points, 6.5 rebounds. Losing Tyler Hagedorn is big. He's 6'11". And for South Dakota last year, shot over 51% from three among qualifying D1 players. Second best 3-point shooter in all of college basketball. But with the South Dakota team, they've really done a good job with their international pipeline, bringing a little bit in down low with Nebraska as well. This is a team that they were anemic at the free throw line last season. They're still having their issues there. As I'm seeing it right now, this is a line that's climbing anywhere between 13 and 14 points is what you're getting on South Dakota State. I like that as a play.
Yeah, I got a 14 consensus on South Dakota right there. All right, so let me give rotation numbers on these. Kansas 628, Oklahoma State 617, South Dakota 625. One more for the road as we leave here, Greg.
One more is Central Michigan versus Florida International. Under, as I'm seeing it right now, it's climbing to between 160.5 and 161. Both of these teams lost so much from last year, including for Florida International, Ushan Osagai. Hopefully I'm saying that one correctly. That was always one that I struggled with. So he is now off campus, but he was averaging 3.9 blocks per game for Florida International. He himself averaged more blocks per game than about 250 D1 teams. You have to replace the entire backcourt of Central Michigan with Florida National. You have to replace that along with a lot of their scoring as well. Both of these teams, I think, are going to have a tough time putting the ball in the basket. I like that under 619, 620 rotation number.
There it is, the under, Central Michigan, FIU. Greg Peterson, thank you, Greg. What's the Twitter handle?
@GUnit_81.
@GUnit_81, because he loves Art Monk so much. I know he doesn't know who Art Monk is. Anquan Boldin, that's why he likes it. Thank you, Greg. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Greg Peterson, Instant Offense, the microwave. Right here at College Basketball, a good College Basketball Tuesday. We'll come back NFL with Drew Dinsick, whale capper. Where do the Eagles rank in his bottom five? Whew. Coming back, Numbers Game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.